One night, deep into it, when sounds are prone to carry, a baby boy lies crying on Sarah Creamer's kitchen table. He is minutes old, still wet with his mother's blood, and hungry for his mother's milk. But she does not hear his cries. She is no longer there. Only Sarah remains. Her body bent over his, her hands rummaging the wooden planks for a towel still white enough to wrap him in. Blood is everywhere, puddled up as if there had been a hard rain. The smell of it saturates the 81-degree air, pushes aside the dry tang of bleach, and fills the heat with the moistness of a long, shuttered earth, now free. The baby's cries penetrate Sarah's bosom and bounce around its emptiness. Her hands are shaking. A lone light bulb hangs suspended over the table, a pull spring running from the base of the bulb. It hangs as still as death. The light casts Sarah larger than she knows herself to be, beginning on the far wall above her husband, Harold, who lies drunk and passed out in front of the open doorway to the porch. Sarah spreads high and wide. Harold's pocket knife lies atop one of the towels, the blade still open and awash in a red slickness. Sarah yanks the towel towards her, flipping the knife onto the table, still warm from Maddie's body. "Cut him loose of me!" Maddie's words to Sarah, who delivered the child. "Get you a knife and cut him loose of me now!" The towel in Sarah's hands, she twists, the red and white spirals of a peppermint stick. "What was in my head? I can't keep him. Billy Eudine will kill me, and this baby too." Maddie's voice almost too hoarse for utterance, her legs working to free herself from the table. She drops to the linoleum and heads for the door, crawls over Harold, and leaves on him a trail of bright red. "It ain't the child's fault he was born." Her last words from the porch, before the darkness drew her. "It ain't mine either," Sarah thinks now, and wraps the baby in the towel, brings him in close and steps over Harold and into the sweltering night in Anderson, South Carolina, where the moon is on its way to bed, and crickets, a whole chorus of them, sprinkle the farmland in waves. "Maddie! Sister Maddie!" she calls out, her bare feet scurrying across the dirt yard to the vegetable garden they share, the rose running from Sarah's house to Maddie's. She takes the one between the green beans. They would make in another week or two. She rushes up the few steps to the front porch, onto the green concrete slab, and throws open the screen door. She turns the knob. It's locked. "Sister, open the door!" Maddie never locks her door. No one does. Sarah shakes the knob. "I'm bringing him back to you. This is your baby, not mine. Don't you put this on me." The door does not open. Sarah places her ear against the wooden surface and strains to hear Maddie's footsteps inside, hear the creaks her barely 100 pounds would make. But the baby's cries do not allow for that. Sarah kicks at the door and beats it with her fists, beats it hard. "I mean it, Maddie. I ain't no mama. You his mama. Betty's got your dimples. Now come get him. Come get him now." Sarah's words come fast like the bullets Billy Eudine said he wanted to go fire on the people he called slant eyes, his arms pretending to hold one of the guns he kept stashed in every room of his house, and pointing it like he could see them already. He never broke any of Maddie's bones, but he'd beaten her black and blue. The newspaper the day before splashed a headline that spanned the top of the front page, "War Hero to Return Home," and carried words that said Billy Eudine Parnell would be on the train to Anderson the next day, around noon. That's in a few hours.